Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
render unto every man according to his
nope.
deeds, to them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek
nope.
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, Frank
Lucas.
Yep.
You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
All right. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Shalom, good morning. Baruch HaTuvah. Shalom to the 12 tribes worldwide. It is your guy. It's that dude. It's me, Mashiach. I welcome you to another episode of ISBHBK Presents Bible Talk. The Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge presents Bible Talk. Welcome. As you know, we have schools located across America. San Antonio, Texas, at 4444 Walsham, San Antonio, Texas, 78217, being at the address there. They have classes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and also Saturdays. Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 7 to 9. And then they have the Sabbath class starting at 10 a.m. to about 12, figure 2 p.m., I'm sorry, here in San Antonio. We also have a school location in Houston, Texas, headed by the brother Quatazat and the brother Lakparab. And we also have a school in Norfolk, Virginia, headed by Kazakia and the brother Aliyah Amawan. And then Rochester, New York, with the brother Zion Allah heading things up there. Yeah, I guess the weather's starting to break here a little bit. For the past 2 days, there's been ice days here in the San Antonio region. And I know across America, we're dealing with this weather the freeze that's been taking place. But I guess it's starting to warm up. It's warming up enough here in San Antonio to where school, they reopened the schools. For the past 2 days, they had closed the schools. But for today, they finally did open the schools. So it's supposed to be getting warmer as far as it's not below freezing. It's still cold out here. I ain't gonna lie about that. But it's not freezing at below. So with that, that's definitely a change that's taking place. As you know, for the announcements, Passover is coming up April 9th. All right, Passover is coming up April 9th. I'm looking to join us, the ISB HBK family and schools, in this year. It's being hosted in Newport News, Virginia, which is right there next to Norfolk, Virginia. We ask that if you'd like to attend, you and your family, please send an RSVP. Please go to isbhpk.com. That's isbhpk.com. And once you pull the webpage up, it is right there, front and center. They have an invitation, RSVP link that you can tap on to give your name, your family's name, how many members of your family will be attending the Passover this year. Just let the families out there know, the brothers out there know how many people might be coming. They're trying to get a guesstimate about how many people come and say, how much lamb needs to be purchased, how many matzahs need to be purchased, how much wine needs to be purchased, how much bit of herbs need to be purchased. Again, how many plates, tables, eating utensils need to be secured for the Passover. So just helping give a ballpark. The ballpark. If you'd like to attend, please go to isbhpk.com. There is a link for the Passover. Fill it out and let them know, please, as soon as possible. They haven't officially announced it, but they are asking for a donation. They're asking for a minimum of $300 per family to help. To help pay for the cost of the building, and I'll pay for the cost of all the all the food and everything that needs to be supplied. Get a text here. Hold on 1 second, please. Get a message from. Cool. A text from Brother Gabar Kawal. He won't be joining us this morning. Having to take care of some issues. Cool. So, again, that's for a $30 donation per family. Just to help pay for the expenses of the Passover. So, just getting that out of the way. All right, brothers and sisters. Last night we started a class entitled Temptation. And this morning we're going to conclude with this show. The second part, of dealing with temptation, all right? It's the second part of dealing with temptation. Last night what we covered, I was going over, I was really trying to lay a foundation and get an understanding across the people that we looked at, and we were examining the temptations of Christ, particularly when he got his temptation, when he was actually, when the Bible records his temptation actually started. And we were seeing that Christ was doing everything right in the eyes of God, that he went and got he was 30 years of age, he went and got baptized, and that he had told John the Baptist that it was good for them to fulfill righteousness, and understanding that righteousness is keeping the law, that to do things to be our righteousness is determined by us keeping commandments of the Most High. So he got baptized, and at the age of 30, and this was actually to start the ministry. This was actually for him to start his servitude, for his service in serving the Most High. That according to the law that was handed down by Moses, a priest couldn't start his service in the ministry, or his service of the tabernacle, or serving the Most High, until he was at least 30 years of age. All right, that's something that had to happen, and that before a priest, when he started their office, or started their service, I should say, if that's a better word, started their service for the Most High, they had to cleanse themselves, they had to wash in water. So for Christ to go ahead now and get baptized, that wasn't a new thing that had just started at that time with John the Baptist. That baptisms or washings or cleansings had been a part of the Israelite culture since the days of Moses, that we had to be cleansed, we had to be clean, and we had to bathe ourselves in water. We had to wash ourselves in water. So, again, just the history of baptism. Baptism didn't start with John the Baptist, right? Being cleansed didn't start with John the Baptist. That ritual, for lack of a better word, that ritual, that tradition, that was something that was part of the law going all the way back to the days of Moses, that if you're going to serve the Most High, especially concerning the priests, that whenever they came to do their service, when they came to do their ministry, they had to cleanse themselves, right? They had to be cleansed. They had to be washed in water. And then at the age of 30, and then begin their service, right? And as we were reading last night, it went from 30 to 50. That the service of the minister, the service of the priest was a 20-year commitment. And they could not start their ministry until they were 30. They couldn't start their service of God until they were 30. And we covered all that last night. So if you missed any part of that show, please check us out at www.blogtalkradio.com. When you pull that webpage up, type in my name in the search box, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and that'll bring you to our episode page, and it'll be the first one there. It says temptation. All right, that's the name of the title of the show. It's just temptation. And you go ahead and listen to it, check it out, be able to catch up on anything you might have missed as we continue on again with this part two this morning. Okay, brothers and sisters, with that, this is extremely bad timing. But I need to take a quick intermission. And then we're going to get into this second part of dealing with temptation. All right, let me take a quick intermission, and we're going to deal with this second part of temptation briefly. We'll be right back.
All right. You're going to learn today. All right. You're going to learn today.
All right. I'm back. Thank you all for your patience. Thank you. In the Hebrew language, we say sawada, right? Which means no words, sawada, for your patience and that little intermission. Cool. So last night, brothers and sisters, in dealing with temptation, in dealing with the topic or subject of temptation, we had to examine how Christ got tempted and when Christ got tempted. That we don't read in the history of Christ that Christ didn't get tempted until he was 30 years of age, and he actually was starting his ministry. That it was said to him, right after he got baptized at the age of 30, that the Most High said that the heavens opened up. They saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon him, and there was the voice heard from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So for Christ to start his service, he was beginning to start his ministry or his service to God as a priest, right? That he wasn't a priest his whole entire life, right? That he didn't start his ministry of actually preaching and teaching until he was 30 years of age. And that he was doing the right thing. He was doing right in the eyes of God, and God even announced and proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But it says immediately after he was baptized to begin his ministry, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he fasted for that 40 days and 40 nights. And then he was hungered. That the tempter, as recorded in Matthew chapter 4, the tempter came. And that's what it says, the tempter came. And gave him those three great temptations. The one thing that we were discovering, we were examining in Christ dealing with temptation, is that each temptation that was levied against him was about him pleasing himself. All right, that each temptation that Christ was offered was about him. Is he going to please himself? Is he going to put himself first? That from the 40 days and 40 nights that he was hungry, that he didn't eat any food. He didn't touch any food for a month and 10 days. And it was when he was at that point of starvation, that point of hunger, really, really at his peak, that's when the tempter came to him and said, "Well, if you really are the Son of God, if the Most High is really like otherwise saying, if the Most High is really with you, he really is pleased with you. You're out here doing all this suffering for these past 40 days. Go ahead and use your power for yourself and turn these stones into bread. Take matters in your own hands and please yourself. Finally, go ahead and ease your suffering." And as we was dealing with the definition of temptation, that I'm going to go back to it again here in my notes, that from the Webster's 1828 dictionary, when dealing with the word temptation, it tells us it's the act of tempting, and we want to pay attention to where it says the incitement to evil by arguments, by flattery, or by the offer of some real or apparent good. That the tempter or the temptations that Christ was presented with, which also we get presented with, is an argument or some flattery, or the offer of some real or apparent good. That are we going to be tempted or enticed to do something for ourselves, to put ourselves first? And we can see that's what Christ was being presented with. If the Most High is with you, if God is with you, then you need to use your power for you. You need to do for you. And that was the temptation. Now, we was also bringing up last night, it's not evil. Bread is not evil, right? To eat bread, that's not against the law. We're not going to find anywhere in the law where it's against God's law to eat bread, except it's the Day of Atonement, right? That's the only time Israel cannot eat. That's the only law that we're ever given, is that during the time of the Day of Atonement, we cannot eat anything, we can't drink anything. And beyond that, it is not unlawful to eat bread. So why was this a temptation now to eat bread? At this particular time, it was a temptation. Are you going to use the power that you have for your own advantage? Are you going to go ahead and use your relationship and telling yourself or whatever, and knowing that God is with you, knowing that you're pleasing God, you're his beloved son, now you're hungry and you've been suffering, you've been sacrificing, you've been you haven't ate anything for these 40 days and these 40 nights. Now it's time for you to do for you. Now it's time for you to take matters into your own hands. If you do have the power, the Most High is with you. You have the power now, or the right, the privilege, whatever being presented, to take these stones and turn them to bread and satisfy your hunger. Do for you. But we see where Christ came back, and in dealing with the temptations, dealing with these things, the second definition, or the first definition of temptation also says the enticements to evil proceeding from the prospect of pleasure or advantage. That prospect of pleasure. You know you're hungry, and now you have this opportunity to do for yourself. You have this opportunity now to do for you, to please yourself, to derive some sense of pleasure. Take these stones, turn them to bread, and devour. Go for it. You deserve it. Haven't you earned it? Didn't the Most High say he was already with you? Didn't he already say he's pleased with you? So now take advantage of the opportunity and do for yourself. And we're seeing where Christ came back now and used the scripture. Christ had to quote a scripture and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the Father. That to deal with the temptation to want to put himself first, to deal with the temptation of wanting to give himself some type of pleasure, to deal with the temptation of wanting to give himself some type of advantage, we see where Christ used the scripture to fend off the argument that was being presented to him. Go ahead and do for you. Go ahead and take advantage of the situation for yourself. That was the first temptation. Then we ran about the second temptation, that the tempter took him to Jerusalem, put him on top of the pinnacle of the synagogue, the tabernacle, the temple, and said, "Cool, cast yourself off, because ain't it also written that the Lord will give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." So here again, we had to pay attention to this next great temptation that Christ had to face at this time was being given a scripture, being quoted a scripture again to do for self. That, okay, cool. We see where the first time the temptation came, it was about, again, turn the rock. You've been sacrificing and suffering and fasting. Go ahead and eat. Do for you. Christ used the scripture and fought that off. The second one became, okay, if God really is with you, then go ahead and jump off this building, because it is written that the Most High gave his angels charge over thee, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Again, are you going to put yourself out there to try and force God's hand to do for you? Are we going to put ourselves in a position where we're going to force God's hand? And then what we had to pay attention to was the tempter gave Christ a scripture. And what we wanted to pay attention to with that is there'll be a lot of times as we start our journey, as we start our ministry in service of God, we come into the truth, we find out that we're Israelites, and even if we've been in the truth for a while, this is when the temptations are going to hit the hardest. That when we decide we're going to dedicate, and we understand that we are the Israelites, we're understanding that yes, we do want to serve God, we want to start doing things the right way. I'm leaving the life I lived, and now I'm going to start my life as an Israelite. Now I'm going to start my life and my service to God. That is not until those times, brothers and sisters, that the real temptations are going to hit us, right? And now here in the second temptation of Christ, we were examining and looking at that now the temptation or the tempter used the scripture for Christ to put himself first. we were studying and really looking at how important it is now for us to be really studied up. It's important for us to have these scriptures to constantly go at the thoughts that come to our minds. I want to put ourselves first. Here, even Satan himself used the scripture for Christ to now take full advantage for himself. Put himself for, again, use your power for you. But we see that even Christ had to come back now, and he had to go into a little scripture debate now with Satan himself. But no, that ain't going to work, because it says, that's not tempt the Lord thy God. Christ had to come back now and give another scripture to put his mind in subjection, to put his body in subjection, to remember he was a servant, not to go ahead and take advantage of the situation for himself, not to ease or please himself. From there, Satan took him where? To the top of a mountain, showed him all the kingdoms on the earth and all the power, glory, prosperity that was available to him, and said, I'll give you all this if you'll bow down to worship me. And Christ had to finally, you know, cut him with another scripture. Thou shalt know the God before me. So one thing we saw, the common factor we saw in these temptations that Christ faced, at the time he was starting his service to the Most High, at the time he was going to start his ministry to the Most High, actually in the service of God, not just keeping the commandments, but actually he's now dedicating himself to serve God, to the ministry, that's when these temptations came. And at the thought of prosperity, the thought of a life of ease, the glory that he could receive if he just served himself first, and that's how Satan is served. Satan is served by us serving ourselves. If we go and look and study and look at the Satanism, what are the laws of Satanism, or the tenets or the codes of Satanism? And the whole belief of Satanism is put yourself first. That's the whole belief of Satanism, is that you put yourself first. It's not about you eating the heads off of rats. It's not about you drinking animals' blood. It's not about those rituals. The first thing about Satanism is that you serve you, and you seek your pleasure. You seek to do the things that you want. That's going to be an advantage to you, and it's going to play on your mind. It's going to thoughts on our mind. And we read that after Christ went through those three temptations, that then the angels came to him and ministered to him, and then they served him. But that when he was starting his service, his ministry, that he had to, these are the things that he had to face. Now, for ourselves, I'm really trying to help lay the foundation that as we come into our service and we want to dedicate ourselves to the Father, we want to dedicate ourselves to Christ, that's when we're going to face the greatest temptations. That we're going to face the greatest temptations to want to do for self. I want to ease my suffering. I want to ease my pain. I want. I'm tired of putting myself last. Why do I got to keep esteeming others? Why do I got to keep doing for others and not taking advantage of situations and do for self? That was one thing I was really wanting to try and lay the foundation of. That Christ went through these things, and no, he didn't use his angelic power. He didn't use his angelic power to endure these situations. But that's the next thing that people want to say in the world today. Well, nobody's perfect. I'm not Jesus. Jesus was supposed to go through that. He's an angel. Through the teaching of that misteaching of the. Immaculate Conception. None of that had anything to do with Christ coming down in the form of a man, coming down to being a man, and being faced with every temptation that we're faced with, but yet he was without sin. And again, I'm just trying to, again, trying to make sure that we understand that, that we're trying to get that through, that most times we're not going to be faced with temptation until we have made up our minds that now we're going to serve God, that now I'm going to do right by God. Then now this is when the temptation now is going to be hitting us the hardest. And even not even just when we first decide to come to the truth, but anytime we set our minds that we're going to start serving God, I'm going to start doing right, that now this is when the temptation is going to hit us the most of why am I suffering? Why am I doing this? Why am I withholding good for myself or a sense of pleasure for myself or giving myself the advantage? Why am I doing this? Why am I being humble? Why am I going through this? And why are these thoughts hitting me? And a lot of times we'll feel so guilty that these thoughts are even hitting us that we'll get to a point where we condemn ourselves. We'll get to the point where we really will start to condemn ourselves and really feel like we're just the most wicked, worthless, evil creatures ever to walk God's earth, that we really are just we can't believe. Sometimes a person will get to the point where I can't believe I'm having these type of thoughts, that I want to please myself. I want to do it. And whatever vice that might be, how can I now receive some pleasure? I've been holding myself back from the things I like to do. I've been holding myself back from things I enjoy. I'm holding myself back from the things that I might even have a sentimental attachment to, and I don't see where any of this is doing me any good. It seems like I'm just being taken advantage of. It just seems like, again, I'm going through this for no reason. And then when we match that with the prosperity teaching in the modern-day church system, that according to the modern-day church system of religion, that God is doing for you when you prosper. That God must be on your side because you've got this amount of money coming in. God must be on your side when you've achieved this type of financial success. God's on your side when you're prospering, and that if you're not prospering, then I must not be doing right in the eyes of God. But if we come back and we're studying these scriptures, that at no time did Christ say that God was with him because of his prosperity. At no time was that ever the case. But a lot of times, because we live in this American society, this capitalist society, where, again, the key word being what? To capitalize. Do for you. Take advantage of every opportunity for yourself. Do for you. Put yourself first. And we're seeing that as Christ went through that temptation, those temptations, in the exact same way, we go through these temptations. All right? And we covered that last night. We definitely covered that last night. So we're trying to move on. From that point there, Hebrew went through that. The scripture we finished with last night, brothers and sisters, if y'all can join me this morning and rereading it as we continue on, is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And a lot of times, we'll be in positions where we want to justify why I might be doing, why I'm being tempted with the temptation I'm being faced with, and why am I doing these things that I shouldn't be doing, but I receive some type of pleasure from doing them. And then a lot of times we'll put this argument in our own minds that I'm the only one going through what I'm going through. Other people have their story, but my story is just a little bit worse than everybody else's. The things that happened to me in my life, the things that I've gone through, it's a little bit different from everybody else. So because I'm the only one in my mind going through what I'm going through, I kind of have a justification of why I shouldn't be judged this way for doing this, that I can kind of justify why I'm doing this because of the things I've been through in my life. So to be at the point where I'm putting myself first, I'm doing for me. I'm taking matters in my own hands. I'm going to control my own fate. I'm going to control my own destiny. And because of what I'm going through, I need this type of pleasure. I need something to ease the pain. So if it's cigarettes, if it's porn, if it's excessive drinking, if it's video games, that I need something that's going to give me pleasure. And we notice that a lot of these things don't happen to us until it's really been shown to us and said to us, and we can say to ourselves, okay, I want to be right. I want to serve the Father. God, I accept the fact that I'm an Israelite, and now I want to do right by God. Then now these temptations hit the hardest when we take this stance. So it says again, beloved, 1 Peter 4 and 12, beloved, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. And we're going to be tested. And that's another thing I guess we need to understand also. We're going to be tested, brothers. And these tests really are not going to start until we come into the truth. Right, until we know better, until we receive the teaching, and we don't get into this, that's when the trials and the tests, we're really going to be faced with them the most. All right, am I going to now use the scriptures? What am I going to study? All right, and understand that it's not about me; that it's about me esteeming others better than myself. Am I going to go ahead now, commit to following the steps and pattern and life of Christ? Remember in St. John chapter 14 verse 6. Christ told us what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Are we going to follow the same steps Christ faced or used when he was tempted by Satan himself, the actual spiritual entity, actually presenting himself to Christ and tempted him and gave him these temptations? And Christ, again, was not in his angelic form. Christ didn't use any angelic power. Christ used scriptures. Christ used the word of God to not put himself first, to not do for him, to not take advantage of the situation for himself. And in so doing, again, from Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, we saw that after he endured those temptations, the angels actually came and comforted him. The angels actually came and ministered to him. For us, the same thing that happened. We have a test. We have trials that are going to be placed before us. Are we going to pass the test? Are we going to pass the temptations? That's the ultimate question. And it's going to be after we know better, after we receive the words, after we know what the Bible says. Reading on now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. But rejoice, and as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that we have to rejoice in that. Now we're seeing that we're following the same steps that Christ walked. Now a lot of people will just take this scripture right here, 1 Peter 4:13. They won't think about 1 Peter 4 and 12. They'll just go to 1 Peter 4 and 13, where it says, "But rejoice, and as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." And it sounds like the first question we have is, how the hell am I supposed to rejoice while I'm suffering? I'm suffering. And we'll look at that word rejoice. And again, we'll look at people that are engaged in prosperity. That every time you look around, they just seem happy. They seem at peace. They seem satisfied. They seem like they ain't got no cares in the world. They ain't got no issues. That it's the life of Riley. Life is just easy and good. While we're trying to actually serve the Most High, that we're suffering, that I'm constantly having to fight, not putting myself first. I constantly have to keep fighting. Why don't I take advantage of a situation like I see everybody else doing? Let me finish verse 13, all right? Let's finish 1 Peter 4 and 13. It says, "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. When Christ does return, and now we're dealing with patience, we're dealing with endurance, that as long as I keep on fighting, that when Christ comes back in his full glory, I'll be able to stand boldly with him. I won't be ashamed or don't want Christ to come back right now, because if he catches me right now, I'm caught up in my wickedness. I'm caught up in my temptations. Now, brothers and sisters, this scripture right here we're going to. Let's go to Psalm chapter 73. Let's go to the 73rd Psalms. And let's read about what David has to say. All right, I'm in the 73rd Psalms. I'm starting at verse 1. And I'm sorry, and this is actually of Asaph. Maybe we should go to 37 first. Well, we're going to read both of them anyway. But you know, let's go to 37. I know that's from David. I do know that that's for sure is from David. Psalm chapter 37. And we'll start at verse 1. All right, please join me now in going to Psalm chapter 37 and verse 1. All right, Psalm chapter 37 and verse 1. It says, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, last night, brothers and sisters, we went over the scripture in James chapter 4 from verse 6 down. It says, know ye not that the spirit that is in us lusts to envy? That we have this thing that there's already in us, regardless of man, woman, or what have you, that there's a desire in us to envy, to automatically feel like somebody's getting over on me, that somebody's got it better than what I got. It's that proverbial, the grass is always greener on the other side, that I'm always missing out, that I don't get no good. I don't get anything. So it's only right that I put myself first. It's only right that I do for me. It's only right that it's time for me to enjoy some type of pleasure, to enjoy some type of good. Let me test this here on my computer. I want to look at the word fret. I do want to look at the word fret. And again, brothers and sisters, for those that are joining along, we are in the 37th Psalms. All right? We're in the 37th Psalms. And what we're doing is we're connecting 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 with Psalm chapter 37 and understanding that the things that we're going through, we're not the only ones going through. We're not the only ones going through what we're going through. That even David was faced with these similar situations. David was faced with similar circumstances of feeling like he was forsaken, of feeling like he needs to go and take matters in his own hands because, again, as we're reading. So in Psalm 37, verse 1, it says to fret. And look at the word fret, again, from the Webster's 1820 Dictionary. It says to fret or gnaw, give the sense of unevenness, roughness, and substances. The like appearance is given to fluids by agitation. To rub, to wear away, a substance by friction. Number two, to corrode, to gnaw, to eat away. As a worm frets the planks of a ship, to impair, to wear away, to form into raised work, to agitate violently, to agitate, to disturb, to make rough, to cause to ripple, to tease, to irritate, to vex, to make angry, right? To be worn away. to wear in, to be agitated, to be in violent commotion, to be vexed, to be chafed or irritated, to be angry, the other peevish expressions. So David here is trying to warn us as he's writing this down. Don't get angry. Don't fret. Don't get agitated. Don't let this irritate you. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. He says, we can't let this get to us. Knowing that we got this spirit in us to automatically be envious, to feel like others are getting over, and it's time for me to take matters in my own hands. If this won't give me pleasure, if I'm feeling depressed, if I'm feeling lonely, if I'm feeling I've got thoughts, and I just need something to make me feel good, so I'm going to turn some porn on, and I'm going to start watching some porn, because that's going to give me a little break from my reality. That's going to give me some type of recess from the tension, from the being irritated that I keep doing for others and not doing for self. So now I'm gonna give myself a little treat. I'm gonna give myself a little something, something. I'm gonna go ahead and do for me. Especially after now, I'm reading the scriptures. I'm trying to follow. I'm trying to do the best I can in following Christ and being a good follower of Christ and following God and doing right by God. But now it gets to the point where we start to get worn away at. Things start to get to us. And now it's the feeling of need. I got to satisfy myself somehow. It could be from porn. It could be from drinking. It could be from smoking. It could be from drugs. It could be from video games. I just need to go ahead and escape. I just need to go ahead and get to I need to do something for me. I need to take matters in my own hands. Especially when I look around and I see how everybody else is happy. I'm seeing how everybody else, they ain't got no problems. They're not going through what I'm going through. This is what King David is saying here in Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, whiter and wither as the green herb. He said, so David's saying, look, his own thoughts was taking him to the same place. His own thoughts was taking him to the same place. That how come everybody else has got good, but I got to go through this. Everybody else is coming up and prospering, and everybody else is happy, but look at what my life is like. Look at what I'm going through. Verse 3, Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That we can trust in the Most High, just the same way Christ did. How did Christ show he trusted in the Father? He kept using scriptures. How did Christ show the Father that he trusted the Most High? He kept going with the scriptures instead of letting his hunger, letting his curiosity get the best of him and now taking matters in his own hand. He kept trusting in the Father and he kept using scriptures. All right? Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We have to make serving God our delight. And if it means putting ourselves second, putting ourselves last, and putting others first, that's what delights the Father. That's when the Father will give us the desires of our heart. But a lot of times we just look at prosperity, and we look at this scripture right here. It's about the desires of my heart. Just give me what I want. But we don't understand, even Christ had to go through the same process. And that many people in the Bible had to go through the same process. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Did you notice here in verse 5 what David is saying? Commit our way unto the Lord. We have to be committed to the Lord. That means in the face of sacrifice, in the face of fasting, and when I say fasting, meaning you're withholding something from yourself. Christ withheld food from himself. He did not feed his flesh. He did not feed himself for that 40 days and that 40 nights. He cut all that. He cut food off. And one thing, when I was going to this class with my family, if we consider Christ and look at him, remember, Matthew chapter 11, verse 19 tells you that people, when they saw Christ, they called him a glutton. A glutton today would be known as what? A foodie. Christ loved food and to drink. So for Christ to go 40 days and 40 nights without eating, and he's a glutton, that everybody around him looked at him and said, man, this dude can put it away. He's a foodie. And he likes to drink. For him to cut that off and not give himself over to that, and then be tempted with turn these rocks into bread. Go ahead and eat. That Christ had to use the scripture to overcome those sensations. I'm not going to say that immediately the hunger was satiated. I'm not even trying to say that or satisfied. I'm not even saying that at all. But looking at or considering that Christ being a foodie, a glutton, from Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, that he was given the opportunity to take advantage for himself, that the thoughts that he was being healed with from Satan himself, the tempter being right there, talking to him, telling him, if you really are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, go ahead and eat. Satisfy that hunger. That's the thing that you've been missing, that you've deprived yourself from. Go ahead. Just do it. Have it your way. Come on, Christ. You know you only live once. You know you love to go ahead and eat that. Use it for yourself. Christ didn't do that. So, again, Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That a lot of times, as we start our journey with the Father, and we're on this journey with the Most High and following Christ to the Father, that we get to a point where we look around like, why? It's not worth me sacrificing this. It's not worth me being taken advantage of and not taking advantage for myself. That, okay, I'm depressed. This cigarette will help me relieve my stress. This weed is going to help me relieve my stress. I'm just so stressed out. I'm really going through it. I've got PTSD. I've got all these type of problems going on. I need to take a break for myself. I need to get drunk so I can blame it on the alcohol. I need to constantly keep some type of alcohol, liquor, something around me. And yeah, if Christ was a wine bibber, then shit, okay, good. Christ is a wine bibber, so there's nothing wrong with drinking wine. I'm going to drink, and I'm going to rise up early in the morning, and I'm about to get my drink on. I'm about to get my swerve on because I need this. And then other people do it, and they're prospering. From vape shops, smoke shops, to well-off people who are well-off, got money, smoke a lot of weed, smoke a lot of cigars. We can look at the Mike Tysons with his pot enterprise. We can look at – I'm just going to use him for now. That we can see for all the minutes he made as a boxer, pretty much lost all that. But now we can see that he's definitely he's definitely back. He's definitely back, not as the mighty Mike Tyson, but the rich mogul Mike Tyson. With weed being his number one commodity of getting his wealth, and then he sounds so deep and so smart. And look at how the weed had to calm that beast that was in him. That now he done turned that and made this hobby a joy, made this thing that he really likes a joy. And look at how he's prospering. So God must be with him. That's got to be the way to do it. and it's Mike Tyson. That must be the way. So let me go ahead now and try to follow that same blueprint. Let me go ahead now and follow the same blueprint so I can have that same success and prosperity. That's how they do it. And look at how they're happy. Look at the cars they drive, the house they got, the money they got. He got 99 problems, but a woman ain't one. Look at, he had the money, the power, and the respect. Look at that. That is what I want. And right now, I don't see how me putting myself last, how me doing for others more, I don't see how that is going to help me get to where I got to get to and how it's going to help me get past this depression I'm in. I don't see how it's going to help me get past the feeling of loss that I'm dealing with. But let's look at, again, what King David was telling us. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Because, again, as we keep looking around at other people, and please, don't get addicted to social media, where everybody's doing everything at their heart's desire. And they seem happy from the tattoos they get, the sex they're having, from the life they're living, that they're vacationing here, they're vacationing there, that, man, they've got it. They've got it. And it'll be those type of things that we look at, it'll make us angry. And that'll help drive us to that point of, I need to go ahead and take matters in my own hands. I need to get out of this rut that I'm in. I need something to help me. I need a pick-me-up. And whatever vice that might be for that a person is dealing with. Psalm 7, 37, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And again, what was that evil? What was the evil that the tempter was offering to Christ when it came to the hunger? Turn these stones into bread and feed yourself. Do for you. Stop suffering. Stop being patient. Stop enduring. Take matters in your own hands. Especially by the time you get to the third temptation. All this power, all this glory, all this fame, all this prosperity, it's the quick road to prosperity. Just put yourself first. Do whatever it is you got to do for you, and I'll make sure you get that prosperity. I'll make sure you get that glory. I'll make sure you start to feel good about what you're doing. Psalm 37, verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now we understand where Christ came back into Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and said what? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not just that little quick fix, that little quick bump, that little quick thing of pleasure you might get, very temporary. You can watch all the porn you want to. It's going to be temporary. You smoke all the weed you want to. It's going to be very temporary. You take all the fentanyl you want to. It's going to be those releases are very temporary. You can be into, you're just going to, you're going to just binge watch TV all day and all night. It's only temporary. You're going to be, smoke a cigarette. You're being stressed out at work. You're being stressed out at home or whatever it might be. So you're going to look for that quick relief. You're going to look to ease the pain real quick. It's not going to happen, y'all. That's not going to help you inherit the earth. That's not you showing meekness. All right? Verse 10, Psalm 37, verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. This test that we're all being put through, remember, from 1 Corinthians 4 and 12, thinking that strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Each of us is going to be tried. Each of us has a trial that we have to face. It says, but we pass these tests. You do pass these trials. That at the end of it, it's going to be the abundance of peace. Reading on. Verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. And this is where, if we're dealing with the definition of temptations, where the arguments, somebody will give you an argument about why are you suffering. Somebody who's prospering, it seems like they're prospering, will come to you and be like, you must be doing something wrong. And they'll gnash upon you with their teeth. Like they keep grinding at you, keep grinding at you, keep grinding at you. That you need to join them in how they're doing things. You need to think like them. You need to do things like them. Smoke this, drink this, watch this. You need to find some pleasure. You need to find something that's going to ease your pain. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth not that his day is coming. Ain't that the truth? Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as love, such as be of upright conversation. That your conversation be about the scriptures. When your conversation is about the scriptures and about the Most High and about doing those things that please him, but you don't put yourself first. You put others first. You don't make it about you and you're suffering what you're going through. That, and it seems like you're poor and needy, that you are lacking, that people are going to talk about you and try to make you feel that much more low, that much more messed up, then now you have to take matters to your own hands if you want to be accepted. If you want to be accepted, if you want to have some sense of happiness. Verse 15, their spores shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Check this out, y'all, verse 16. Please highlight this. Psalm chapter 37, verse 16. It says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. To be content with the little bit that you might have, but that you're doing right in the eyes of God. You're following the scriptures. You're doing what the scripture says. You're constantly applying the scriptures. Do you hear what David is saying? What made King David to be King David? Say David was a man after, God said David was a man after his own heart. A little that a righteous man had is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. The Lord knows the days that we're fighting for him. We're fighting the thoughts to want to take advantage and do things for self. The Lord says he knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. It's not going to be a temporary fix. That when the Father's done, what we receive from him is going to be forever. Verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. These are what the righteous are going through. The wicked, the ones who don't put God first, that ones that put themselves first, is not going to last. Verse 20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as are blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Ah. This is where we have to use patience, y'all. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. A lot of times we say a person is good because of the prosperity that they might be experiencing. But it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This man can follow scriptures. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he should not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Are y'all hearing this? That what a good man goes through, a righteous person goes through, that they're going to fall. But they should not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Verse 25, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. It might get scarce, but somehow the Most High continually comes through for the righteous. Oh, man. The reason I'm saying that, I just have several families and several people that when I read the scripture, it comes to mind that if you look at them, from outwardly, it would seem like, why are you serving? Why are you trying to be a Hebrew Israelite? Why you do this? And you're always putting others first. Your family's always there for other families. And look at y'all. Y'all ain't got nothing to show for it. Y'all have nothing to show for your love of Christ and the Most High and the fact that you get feelings of regret. You get feelings you get some low feelings that you would love to see your family. They would love to see their families prospering and having a little easier life. And their bills covered, paid with ease, not living check to check. And they could easily go into some depressions and could easily give themselves over to some vices. But they don't. But the one thing Most High definitely keeps doing is they're not forsaken. And the children ain't begging for bread. Damn. Verse 26. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. This person, even for the wrong that's committed against him, when people maliciously take advantage of him, they constantly keep putting the Most High first, and they keep lending. They keep giving. When it seems like they have nothing to give, they keep finding a way to give. They keep finding a way to be there for others, and the Most High continues to bless their household and bless the happiness of their children. The last minute, the Most High always comes through for these particular families I'm thinking about, each and every time. Verse 27, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. And this particular family that I have in mind, they're constantly going over scriptures. They're constantly quoting scriptures. Constantly trying to put the Most High first. Constantly trying to challenge and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When they can easily take advantage of situations and not be living the way that they outwardly live. Where people look at him and say, well, what good is y'all being these Israelites? And this is all y'all got to show for it. Verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. It says the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but always constantly talking about the fear of the Most High, what the scripture says, how to keep putting themselves second and put others first. That's what the mouth of the righteous does. The mouth of the righteous will speak wisdom. And his tongue talketh of judgment, that the Most High sees what's going on. Other people can't see it. Other people don't understand it or know it. And for the thoughts that even get, that come up, that face them, that give them the arguments of, it's time to do for self. I got to back up. I'm going to withdraw. It's time for other people to deal with this. They constantly fight those thoughts and keep stepping up. Verse 31, the law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Good Lord. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Now, and taking us back to the history of David in particular, what was Saul trying to do to David? David's talking from a real place. This ain't a religious place. This ain't a Hallmark card moment place. This is a reality. That the wicked that David is referring to in this case is another Israelite. And again, that Israelite being Saul. And for a minute, Saul was prospering. He had Daniel, the whole army on his side. Saul was obviously rejected by the Most High, but he was getting over, and it was wearing at David. Verse 33, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Check out verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Like they just keep getting more and more and more and more. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. But I hope we understand, we can't show we trust in the Most High until we're tested. Oh, this is kind of taking a turn that I wasn't expecting. Let's take a look at Psalm 773. Verse 1. Psalm 17, verse 1, and this is a psalm of Asaph, right? Psalm 37, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even the such as are of a clean heart. And how do we clean our hearts? How do you clean your mind? Remember St. John chapter 15, verse 3. Now you're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Yeah, we keep having to clean our minds from the temptations. We had to keep studying. I'm definitely gonna get back to that track. We gotta keep studying. If we don't keep studying and keeping our thoughts in captivity of Christ, to follow Christ, if we don't keep studying and we just keep going by what we see, we keep going by what we feel, but it says we're not gonna make it. This spiritual obstacle course that each of us has to face, we're gonna keep falling. We're gonna keep failing because we're not following the leader. We're not following Christ. And we're letting our eyes wander. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, the Most High is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had nigh well slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Their confidence is firm in what it is they're doing. And for those that are following Christ and the Most High, it seems like there's times we get shaken. Again, there's an argument, a challenge, a flattery, some promise of some goodness, some pleasure that we can get if we do this, if we just deviate. And we just give in. It looks like fun. Verse 5. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. They're not going through half the problems or half the things I'm going through. The way they're doing things must be right. Therefore, pride can pass, Psalm 73, verse 6. Therefore, pride can pass them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppressions. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Psalm 17, verse 13. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long, I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak this, behold, I should offend against the congregation of thy children. Yeah, for those that, if I speak the truth, now I'm going to start offending people, especially those that are really enjoying their prosperity. If I go over these scriptures and speak these scriptures, all of a sudden they're going to feel offended. They're going to feel some type of way. When I thought to know it, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of the Most High. Then understood I their end. So even Asaph here, writing this psalm, he's giving the blueprint again. We could finish, go on with Psalm 73, but I want to get back to my notes that I was going over. And believe me, everybody, you're more than free to, and more than welcome, please continue reading Psalm chapter 73 at your own leisure. But I want to get back to this class because I didn't want to take this series too much longer. So much time I got left. Yeah, I didn't want to take this series too much. I didn't want to extend this series. I want to get back to when are we faced with temptations the most? That we're following Christ, and we see how Christ, when he faced his biggest temptations, is when he was trying to do right by the Most High. That he was doing things right in the eyes of the Father, and he wasn't putting himself first. And when they're doing those things, and not putting himself first, that's when the greatest temptations came in and was hitting him up. Okay? Please join me now in going to the book of Luke chapter 8. Please join me now in going to the book of Luke chapter 8. We'll start at verse 4. Luke chapter 8, we'll start at verse 4. And again, and dealing with temptations. And I'm not going to go into specifics about what a specific person might be being tempted with, as much as the bottom, the foundation of any temptation is going to be the temptation to want to put yourself first, the temptation to want to ease your suffering that you're going through by taking matters into your own hands. Like you might see everybody around you doing the same thing. And no, they're not the classic, if you will, Satan worshipers. They just know how to take advantage of every opportunity for themselves. They know how to do for self and put themselves first. And they do willingly put themselves first. They do willingly look for every opportunity to put themselves first. And they're prospering. And it's working for them in this current world. So coming back now to Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. I want to get back to us understanding. And this is not about me pointing fingers at anybody, as much as I want this to be understood what the followers of Christ are going to have to go through. All right, that's what I want to make sure that we're keeping the focus on, and how to fight the temptations that might come to your mind, that the trying to find an advantage for yourself, trying to find some pleasure for yourself. Coming out of Luke chapter 8, verse 4, the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And we've been over this before, but we're going to read again. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell by a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Other fell onto good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Powerful. Now, let's get some understanding about what this meant. That was Luke chapter 8, verse 8. Now we're going to Luke chapter 8, verse 9. And the disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the Most High, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Verse 11, Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So he talked about a sower went out to sow, and he was sowing seed. It's like a farmer, right? It's like a farmer who's going out and he's planting crops, right? And in planting these crops, obviously you got to throw the seeds out there for the crops to grow. And he's saying that now in that allegory, in that metaphor, the seed is the word of God. Somebody's out there doing some teaching. The teaching is taking place. The word of God is being sown. It's being taught. All right? So the seed is the word of God. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear the word. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So right away, this is what Christ is trying to break down to the disciples if we see this. That once somebody gets taught, they're getting taught the words of the Most High. They're getting taught the right way of now doing things, putting yourself last and putting others first. Stop following your own lust. Stop following your own desires. Stop following the thing that you want. And now put yourself last and put God first. So they get taught, but it says immediately comes what? The devil. And then what's the devil do? Just like he tried to do with Christ when Christ first started his ministry. Try to take away the word out of their hearts. Don't concentrate or think about the scriptures. Now you're going to be faced with these situations, these quote-unquote real-life situations, for real. Then now I don't have time to deal with studying. I ain't got time to deal with that. That now I got some real issues and problems going on. I've got to make sure, I got to get my mind distracted, and I got to focus on these other issues. I got to focus on these other things. I don't have time for that. I need to deal with what's going on. I can't sacrifice to keep doing what the Bible says and what the scripture says. I now got to go handle these things. It says this again, Luke chapter 8, verse 11. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. So they get the teaching. They get taught. Then come up the devil and take away that the word out of their hearts. So now that instead of the scriptures not being in my mind, I'm thinking about all the problems I'm going through, all the life issues I'm facing. All these type of things start to hit me up. And now the word's not in my mind. Now how do I ease the pain? What does a person do now to ease this pain, ease this suffering, ease these issues, these problems that they now have their mind focused on instead of focusing on what the scripture says? It says, and the devil taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe in what the scripture is saying. Let me apply what the scripture says. Let me focus on doing that was right in the eyes of the Father. Let me keep that there. And the Most High will make a way. But that gets taken away because now it demands your attention that you have to be the one that solves this problem. You have to be the one that takes matters in your own hands. And then you find out that it's too much. So this is where all the other vices keep coming. This list they should believe and be saved. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Do y'all see this? First the devil comes, and now in this temptation, a person does believe in the scriptures, and they are sacrificing and enduring and putting themselves last, but it gets to the point where they get tired of that. There's an expectation that by now I should have this. By now, this has got to happen. By now, I should be at this level. And if not, I'm going to need to go ahead and now make some changes and make some adjustments because things ain't coming through like I thought it was going to come through. That by this amount of time, Most High should already show himself that he's with me. He should go ahead and turn things over. I should already be prospering at this time. I shouldn't have to be struggling the way I'm struggling. Not with this. So in the time of temptation, they fall away. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, again, heard what? The word, the scriptures, the what is right in the eyes of the Father, how we have to operate and conduct ourselves, what we have to now restrict ourselves from, cut off from ourselves, and start now keep the law, statutes, commandments of the Most High. And that says what? They go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Heard the word, but now I'm choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. And bring forth no fruit to perfection. When it comes to the Most High, I don't complete anything. Because this person now is caught up with what? The cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, hearing, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, that Christ also said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. I don't want to break the flow up right now, brothers and sisters, but I need to take another quick intermission. we're going to be turning. We're going to be going into Ecclesiasticus in the Bible, or Syriac, in about chapter 2 and starting verse 1. So, guys, forgive me. I've got to take another intermission, and we'll be back and continue this.
Yeah, who it is? House of the Redeemed Servant.
Yeah, I'm Shabaraka Tha.
Nobody's gonna miss you. The earth is in mourning. Your life is the issue. A rapist and murderer, stealer of lands, and all of these sins by the white man's
hands.
Hey
man, I'm smiling now while I'm reading about us stomping out y'all infants, the Africans and the Arabs in it. This is what it's called recompense. We sentiments while we tucking in our children.
Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today.
All right, so brothers and sisters, again, and dealing with this, the topic of temptation, and moving on, I hope we're seeing that from in the book of Luke chapter 8, was recorded for us to learn from, is that is when you set your mind that you're going to do right by the Father, that's when the biggest temptation is going to come. And that if we don't follow the steps of Christ, meaning this, not in religious sense, brothers and sisters, but apostles of Christ, how much studying are you doing? Or are we letting things distract us from the studying? Are we letting things, the pressures, the issues, the feeling of a lack of prosperity, are we letting things get to us to where now we are the word is getting choked out, and we're getting slowly pulled into this thing of I'm going to do for self. I got to ease the pain. I got to ease the stress. I got to get out of this rut, this feeling that I'm in. So I got to take advantage of my own hands, and that includes less and less studying. It doesn't mean that we stop saying we're Hebrew Israelites. It doesn't mean that, but we start accepting by looking at the people around us and the things and the vices that they give themselves over to. Now we start justifying our own selfishness. Right? We start justifying our own selfishness and telling ourselves, I need this to get by. I need this to overcome. I need to do something. I need to take matters in my own hands. Right. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we're going to start verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we're going to start verse 1. Or other people might call it Syriac in the Apocrypha. Right. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thyself over temptation. Do y'all see what's being stated right here? I mean, I know y'all have seen it. I don't want to come across that way. We have to consider what's being said. When you come to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. You're going to be tested. As Christ went through the baptism, waited until he was 30, went through the baptism to start his ministry or his service to the Father, that's when his temptation came. That's when it started, right? And that it was some strong temptations to not put himself first, to stop his own suffering, to stop what he was going through, and the quick road to prosperity, the quick road to success. To that feeling again of accomplishment, but he didn't follow that. And the way he kept fighting those temptations was to actually do what? He applied scriptures. So even when Satan came at him with the scripture, he had to match him and overcome him with the scripture. All right. So it says Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 1, my son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. Set thy heart aright and constantly endure, and make not haste in a time of trouble. So when you come to serve the Lord, you have to understand and know that there's going to be a time of trouble. You have to prepare your mind for that. You have to know that when, just like if you give up whatever vice it might be right now, the temptation of wanting to watch porn, lonely, depressed, you want to feel good. It's time something that you feel good about yourself. So we're going to watch the porn. Okay. What we have to prepare for is that there's going to be feelings that a person is going to experience to make you want to justify doing that. I hope that I'm trying to bring it across as clear as I can. That there's going to be situations, there's going to be some amount of stress that a person is going to be going through that's going to make them want to justify getting themselves over to whatever their vice might be. Okay? Verse 2. Set their heart aright and constantly endure and make not haste in a time of trouble. There's going to be trouble. There's no getting around that formula, brothers and sisters. There's no getting around that formula. There's going to be trouble. Is that we have, again, so much spirit of envy that we deal with that we really haven't really faced and realized that I'm being driven by my own envy. I think everybody else has got it better than I do. I really got this in my mind that I don't get no good. Everybody always gets something good, something better. Verse 3, cleave unto him and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end. A lot of us, we lose patience. And the question that rises up is, why am I going through this? Why am I doing this? Haven't I been doing this long enough? Well, in the eyes of the Father, we haven't. Verse 4, whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully, and be patient without a change to a lower state. And again, I've heard a lot of people over my years of teaching, how am I supposed to take this with joy? like some type of idiot, some type of babbling fool. How the hell am I supposed to take joy? I have joy in doing my vices. I don't see how I'm supposed to have joy in doing this. I don't see how I'm supposed to have joy in that I'm not doing things for myself. I'm not doing the things that, like, if I'm going to find joy, then, and the scripture says find joy, then I'm supposed to do the things that I like to do, not the things that the scripture is driving me to do. If I'm an introvert, I don't like being around people. So now you tell me I got to be around people when it makes me uncomfortable. It makes me, I don't like crowds. I don't like being around people. But now you're telling me I have to be around people. I have to gather together for these holy convocations. I got to be around people, and I don't like people. I don't want to be around people. But now I got to face that. We're supposed to receive a joy in that I'm doing what the Most High likes. That's where our joy is going to come from. Now, we might be catching hell. It might be hard to do these things that the Most High likes. But we're supposed to find a joy in that the reason I'm doing this is because it pleases the Most High. That's where we're supposed to find a joy in that type of thing. But could we be suffering? Yes. Could we be in some low states? Very much so. Can we be at the point where I'm so stressed out, I want to vape, I want to smoke, I want to drink. I just want to go home and go in my room and go to my house and just close the door and shut everybody off. Oh, I want to do that so bad. But the fact that I'm doing what the scripture says, gather yourselves together. Yeah, gather together, a nation that desires. Okay, this is what's pleasing the Most High. And he's seeing me challenge myself. Am I going to choose to please the Father? Am I going to choose the pleasures of this life? Which road am I going to take? Verse 4, again, whatsoever is right upon thee, take cheerfully, and be patient without change into a low estate. For gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. The only way we can make ourselves acceptable to the Father is through the adversity we keep going through for him. Whatever your personal adversity is, you keep going through that for the Father. Keep applying the scriptures while you're going through that adversity. That's the only way we can be accepted in the eyes of God. Not when things are prospering, but in that adversity. What are we doing in adversity? What scriptures are we holding on to while we're going through our adversities? As opposed to now, I'm going to choose to follow my temptation. Follow that thing that gives me pleasure. Verse 6, believe in him, and he will help thee. Order that way aright, and trust in him. And I love the scripture personally to use as to cut myself. If I'm going through these things I'm going through, and it seems like I have no help, I like to use Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 6. Then do I really believe in the Most High? If I get to the point where I feel like I've got no help, I'm the only one going through what I'm going through. And the first Peter 4 and 12 already told me what? Thinking that strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened to you. First of all, he says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation that has taken you but such as is common to man. So I feel like I'm going through this and I got no help. I'm being faced with things, and I have no help. Then do I really believe in the Most High? That's a challenge. I come back and slap myself in the spiritual face with. The Mashaba, do you really believe that the Most High don't see what's going on, that he's really not there? That you have no help, so you have to take matters in your own hands? You have to do this? Do I really believe in him? Do I really believe in the Most High? Do I really believe in these scriptures? It's a challenge I put forth to myself. If I feel like I've got no help, and brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, it hits. These thoughts do hit. Do I really believe in the scriptures? Do I really believe in the Most High? Am I really applying the Most High while I'm in the midst of this adversity? And whatever adversity that might be. It says, and he will help thee. Order thy way aright and trust in him. I got to start doing things in his order. I got to make sure I'm doing things the way the Most High wants things done. Not be pulled into my vices and the things that give me pleasure and the things that ease the pain. Let me make sure I'm doing what the Most High wants. And believing that he does see what's going on and what's happening. Verse 7. Ye that fear the Lord, wait for his mercy and go not aside, lest ye fall. Ye that fear the Lord, believe in him, and your reward shall not fail. I love that. It says, your reward, if we're doing right by the Most High, nobody can take your reward. Nobody can take your reward. We give our rewards up. Remember it says, what will the man give in exchange for his soul? You can give away your reward. But no one can take it from you. Again, I love that scripture. Ecclesiastes 7, 2, verse 8. Ye that fear the Lord, believe in him, and your reward shall not fail. Verse 9, ye that fear the Lord, hope for good and for everlasting joy and mercy. Not the temporary fix. The everlasting joy and mercy, not the temporary fix. If I take matters in my own hands, what's this going to fix? It's only going to fix things temporarily. Let's look at the big picture. Verse 10. Look at the generations of old and see, did ever any trust in the Lord and was confounded? Or did any abide in his fear and was forsaken? Or whom did he ever despise that called upon him? And if we look at the generations of old, that's why it's important to study. We have to get into the history of the Bible. We have to go back and study and get in the history of the Bible and look at the adversities and the things that our forefathers went through. What kind of adversities was Abraham faced with? What kind of adversities was Isaac faced with? What kind of adversities was Jacob faced with? What kind of adversities was Moses faced with? What kind of adversities was Joshua faced with? What kind of adversities were these great men faced with? And what decisions and what choices did they make for the Most High to come before them? And then we look at to see others who didn't wait for the Most High and wanted to seek that glory for themselves. King Saul, the first one. Korah and Dathan in the wilderness coming up against Moses. Jezebel. We can look at Samson, who gave himself over to pleasures and the things he suffered. There's too many examples in the Bible, but are we going back and studying and reading these examples, especially when we feel like we're the only ones going through what we're going through? Reading on, I want to finish this second chapter, verse 11. For the Lord is full of compassion and mercy, long-suffering and very pitiful, and forgiveth sins, and saveth in time of affliction. The Most High is going to be there, but are we passing our test? Are we enduring? Verse 12, woe be to fearful hearts and faint hands, and the sin that goeth two ways. Remember how in Revelation chapter 3, he talks about, you need a cold nor hot. You're kind of in between, but because we stay in between, we're not really believing in this, but we're not really out the door. He said, I must spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were either hot or cold. Make a decision. Are you going to be in this truth and be by the Most High or not? make a decision. But if you're going to just be like, keep straddling the fence, Christ said, I'm going to speak. He don't want nothing to do with us then. Got to make a choice. We got to make a choice. Verse 13. Woe to him that is faint-hearted, for he believeth not. Therefore shall he not be defended. I don't know how much more clear I can get. Was that Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7? As a man thinketh, so is he. If you don't let the thoughts get to you that the Most High ain't there, that's why you don't have to apply the scriptures, you're not going to apply the scriptures, then we're not going to be defended. Verse 14. Woe to you that have lost, woe to you that have lost patience. And what will you do when the Lord shall visit you? They that fear the Lord will not disobey his word. Y'all see that? They that fear the Lord will not disobey his word. And they that love him will keep his ways. They that fear the Lord will seek that which is well-pleasing unto him. And they that love him shall be filled with the law. They that fear the Lord will prepare their hearts and humble their souls in his sight, saying, we will fall into the hands of the Lord and not into the hands of men. For as his majesty is, so is his mercy. There's going to have to be a part three to this. I'm not going to be able to get around it. There's going to be a part three to this. So with that, brothers and sisters, this 2 hours has come to an end. Thank you for your patience and enduring as we're going through this. Hopefully, this is able to give you a chance to reestablish, or if not even reestablish, to get a perspective about once you come in, and even after you come in. There's going to be times when you reset yourself, be like, cool, I'm going to start doing for the Most High. And you want to do good, and you want to start doing right by the Father, but it seems like that's when the temptations hit you the hardest. That's when the desire of wanting to do for self, getting tired of enduring, getting tired of having patience, getting tired of it seems like you don't get no good ever coming to you. These are the times, brothers and sisters, we had to be patient and hold on that much more into the scriptures and believe that much more in the scriptures. All right. So with that, I'm about to say shalom. The reminder, Passover is April 9th. It's in Newport News, Virginia this year. And please don't forget to log on to ISBHBK YouTube channels, either ISBHBK San Antonio, ISBHBK Houston, or ISBHBK Norfolk, all right, or any other Hebrew Israelite teachers out there, grab them, hold on to them, embrace them, study them. It's all going to be needed. It's all going to be needed. So with that, brothers and sisters, my name is Mashaba. I thank you everybody for tuning in. And with that, I'm going to say shalom.
Sure. Hail Israel.